Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
NBA Finals starts tomorrow. I can't wait until tomorrow.
You really can't wait?
I'm excited about these finals. First time the Golden State Warriors are playing someone other than LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers in their finals run. That's amazing. Fifth straight finals, four of them were against the same team. So, Kawhi Leonard, you think Toronto's going to win, which is... You know, I'm not going to disrespect Toronto, but Golden State's going to win. But I'm intrigued.
Especially, how are you intrigued if you're saying that Golden State's going to win?
I'm picking them in six.
But, okay.
It's not like I'm picking them in three.
Okay, well, a lot of people got them in four. Like,
I mean, honestly, even if I did think they were going to sweep them, here's why I'm intrigued. KD's not playing, at least not initially. I mean, seeing this team without KD, to me, that is an exciting storyline. Can they actually win the championship without Kevin Durant?
This is the thing that's surprising to me. I know we're always what happened yesterday, so we focus in on that. And I'm talking about them beating Portland and winning those two games against Houston. People forget that this Warriors team that everybody deems unbeatable struggled against the Clippers, lost two home games in Oakland.
Struggling.
That KD,
you're talking about this season.
Yeah, in the playoffs, the start of playoffs, that KD had to rescue. He had two monster games after they lost. They lost twice at home to the Clippers with no star.
First of all, that means nothing.
No, it does.
Because, I mean, the Boston
Celtics. It shows you that they're vulnerable.
No, it doesn't.
It shows you that they can be vulnerable.
The Boston Celtics, first of all, when they won their last championship in 2008, went seven in the first and second rounds. And then six games with Detroit in the conference finals.
All I'm
they
saying
still won
is
the championship. I actually don't think the Clippers would have given them that much of a battle if KD wasn't there. Because they started playing the ISO ball. They would have been playing the way they are now, and they would have dismantled the Clippers in four or five games playing that style.
I disagree. I think the Clippers are better than you ever thought they were.
They're a mediocre playoff team.
That's fine.
So now they're great?
I'm not
now
saying
the Clippers
they're great.
Are great.
I like the team when you can play like that without a star. That's all. And you know
play
what?
Play like what?
Play
the expectations are low.
Play competitively. Go win.
You're sitting here praising them for getting waxed in the first round.
They didn't get waxed in the first
round.
How
many games did they get blowout? Rob G, how many of those games were blowouts?
No, they were the ones who came back from a
They came back from a 30-point deficit.
30-point deficit on the road where they could have easily rolled over.
So now I'm supposed to praise them because they went
just
six games in the first round?
I'm telling you that Golden State is vulnerable.
Yeah, they really look vulnerable
Portland. Because they could lose at home in the playoffs. That's why I'm saying six games.
Okay, so let's play your game, Rob Parker.
Toronto
lost to Orlando in the first game of the playoffs at home. They went seven with an immature Philadelphia 76ers team. They were down 2-0 a young, inexperienced Milwaukee team. They're vulnerable.
No, the difference is one team has been to the finals every year. This team had never been to the finals.
And
that's the difference, Chris. Before it was always the last two finals, 8-1. 8-1. That's with KD. When you keep bringing up all the stats about their record without KD, let me give you the record with KD. 8-1, including a four-game sweep of LeBron James. That's with KD. Without KD, they're 7-8 or whatever they've been in the finals.
Actually, without KD, they're 34-4.
No, I'm talking about in the finals. Rob G, what's their record in the finals?
It would be
without
KD. They won in six without him and lost in seven without him.
7-6, but they're 8-1 with them. So they're vulnerable. They will lose.
We'll see.
Okay. They will lose.
We got wings on that. But anyway, the point I wanted to get to, and I was having a conversation. I want to give him some credit for it. Just as we talked about this, this idea came to my mind. Leon, who was on with us last week, we were talking today. He is of the belief that KD should stay in Golden State if they win the championship, even if they win it without him, to go for four straight. And you know, and I told this to Leon, you know, I have talked about that early in the season. That was my contention. KD, stay one more year in Golden State. Go for four straight rings. No one else has done it except Bill Russell, Michael Jordan, Tim Duncan, Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, Larry Bird. None of them won four straight. And what? And I started thinking about it, Rob, and it made me wonder, because I think many people, I believe including you, feel that if KD doesn't play in these finals and Golden State wins, proving they can win a championship without him, that he has to leave next year. Go somewhere else where you're needed and see if you can lead a team to a championship. But I wonder, it really got me to thinking, if that were to happen where they won the championship this year without KD, he doesn't play, but he stays in Golden State anyway, they win a fourth straight ring. Would the fact that he had done something historic that no one else since Bill Russell has been able to do? And even though it's a stacked team, LeBron had a stacked team in Miami. They didn't win four in a row, not even three in a row. Kobe and Shaq were obviously a great team, both of them in their primes, and they couldn't win four in a row. Michael Jordan took a break after each three-peat. Larry Bird, Magic. Magic's teams were stacked. Never won four in a row. Never even won three in a row. Would the fact that Durant would win four in a row, and I know Steph would also have four in a row and even one more than him overall, but would the fact that he was on a team that won four straight, even with him not being in the third one, would that override the narrative of, oh, it was their easy rings. He didn't, you know, they didn't even need him. They won it without him the third year. Would the fact that he did this historic great thing that takes mental and physical toughness over be enough to change the narrative on KD?
No, not at all. I don't think he gains anything by staying at Golden State. I think
the best scenario is
they lose. He goes somewhere else and gets that team to the finals or wins a championship elsewhere.
They lose and he stays and then they keep winning?
I still think that he'll always be linked to going to a stacked team. So no matter how much he wins here, that's not going to change a lot of people's opinion. I think what changes people's opinion is Warriors needed him. They lost. And then he goes somewhere else, and it's not with the stacked team that he had when he went to Golden State that had already won without him. Had Golden State never won a championship before he got there, then I think people look at it differently. He was the guy to put them over the top.
Definitely look at it differently.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's the whole sticking around, and I don't think that even the four in a row, because people would still discount him and say he wasn't there for three. That they didn't need him. So not being a part of three doesn't help him. They'll say, yeah, he had four in a row, but they'll discount the four because he didn't play in the one that they won.
So as time goes on, it wouldn't.
I don't think it wouldn't work out.
I mean,
if people didn't watch him play, maybe we'll look at it and just say, hey,
four in a row. 10 years from now, maybe they won four in a row. Okay, and what if he's the finals MVP in three of them?
Yeah, I still don't think it's the same.
Mr. Love for Finals MVP Awards?
Well, I mean, if you're giving them out, I'd like to get one, that's all. I don't think it's like the biggest deal, but they're giving it out. So if I'm the greatest player, why wouldn't I want it?
You diss Steph because he doesn't have one.
You know
one
how many
yet.
Michael Jordan has? Let me see.
He's Michael Jordan.
No, stop
don't
it, Chris.
Don't compare him to Steph Curry.
No, stop.
Who you comparing?
No.
Why are you comparing Steph Curry to Michael Jordan?
Did I mention Steph Curry? I didn't even mention Steph Curry. That's how crazy you are about Steph Curry. Stop it. I didn't mention Steph Curry.
What are you about to say?
No, I said Michael Jordan played in six NBA finals. And you know how many finals MVPs he won? Six! If they met, they don't matter, but he won all six in the six that he played.
I never said they don't matter.
Yes, you do.
I'm saying they're not the
end
all be all.
Dude, six for six?
What has that got to do with what we're talking about?
All I'm talking about is if we're talking about, you mentioned
Kareem was 2 for 6. Does that take away the other 4?
No, it does.
Really?
Really? Yes, when you're talking about the greatest.
There are legitimate people that think Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is the GOAT.
Not
but
most
just
people.
Because he has.
Not most
the
people.
The one we're going to have Isaiah Thomas on next
not
hour.
Not most
the
people.
The legendary Isaiah
That's
Thomas.
That's fine.
He thinks Kareem's
he
the GOAT,
I believe.
He has
an opinion. I have an opinion.
I'm just
That's
saying.
Good.
But because he
it's
only
an
got
opinion,
two. Because he
Chris,
only had 2 finals MVPs.
An opinion is not math. Why
don't
you know that?
I don't need you to tell
opinion
me that,
opinion is
of
not
math. Not.
2 and 2 is 4. That's the only thing we can't debate. Everything else is debatable. Everything.
You have this habit of debating things I'm not even trying to debate. I'm not even bringing up.
You brought up the finals MVP.
You have the right to your opinion.
You brought up Steph. I didn't bring up Steph.
You brought up Jordan. I didn't bring up Jordan.
You brought up finals MVPs. That's what you said. You were talking
I
about,
said if
you're
KD...
The guy, you're the guy who always worry about finals MVP.
You are. That's your whole argument against Steph Curry.
Apparently,
that's why Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is not the GOAT.
He's not the GOAT to me.
Man. Did somebody mess with you this
no,
morning?
No. I'm just...
Bad day at the office?
No, I'm having a great day at the office. It's called Sports Talk Radio.
All right, so you don't... I'm throwing it out there. I'm a little torn on it. It just makes me wonder, because 4 straight championships, that's big. No one else has done it.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Isaiah Thomas, 2-time NBA champion, Hall of Fame point guard. Now you see him on NBA TV and TNT as an NBA analyst. So I'm excited for this conversation.
And as we call him in Detroit, Zeke.
Yes.
We call
yes.
him Zeke.
Yes.
And yes, it'll be a pleasure to have him on and talk about his unbelievable career in Detroit and the difference between playing now than playing now and playing back when he played.
Right.
A totally different game, and I know he won't brag about himself, but I'm here, and I'm not a Detroit homer. I'm a truth-teller.
When you have to announce it,
I'm
that
a means
you are.
I'm
that
a
means you
teller.
Are.
No, because I know what you're going to say.
When you say, nah, all right. you know the narrative
Isaiah
about you.
Isaiah already knows me.
Isaiah Thomas, what's happening, man?
I am good. How are you? And I just want you to know before we start, I am on Rob's side.
There you go. You already know.
He already told me that on the phone. So let's just get right to it. Let's just get right to it. Now, I know you. Obviously, we're close friends, and we've known each other for years. And I have said, I know you're going to be humble. So, but I'll talk the truth as much as you can. I have had you as the best, quote-unquote, under-the-rim or smaller player in NBA history for decades. Recently, I've said I think Steph Curry has passed you. Am I nuts? And I know you're not going to diss Steph, but am I tripping?
Well, I would just say this. I truly am, and I said this to you on the phone. I'm truly honored to be compared with Steph in terms of what he's doing in this era and you know, how well and how great he's playing and what he's done to change the game and evolve the game. The only thing I've said to you, Chris, is that the same credit that you have given him, I would like the same credit, too, as a small man, because when I came into the league, and Rob can attest to this.
No doubt.
Chris, I don't know if he was watching basketball at this time.
I was covered. I was at the game. Hey, Zeke, I was at the game in Portland.
but when I came into the league, both of you know, the league had moved away from small point guards. It was Magic at 6'9", Michael Ray Richardson, Reggie Theus, Paul Pressey, so forth and so on. It was all about the big guard.
Yep.
Yeah. And when I was drafted, it was actually controversial at that time because no one thought that you could win and play with a small guard. And what I've said to you, Chris, is that because of the success that I had at the position, it opened the door for more small guards to play the way I played the position. And Rob, you'll remember, it was very controversial for me to be able to score the basketball and also assist at the same time. They didn't think that a point guard was supposed to do that. You were rewarded more for assisting than you were scoring.
Right.
And after we won championships, there are more point guards in the league that play the way I played than there are who play the way others played at that point in time.
Nope.
And so there's been a couple of evolutions at the point guard position. And Chris, you have not given me my credit for the evolution of, you know, allowing small guards to come back into the game and be able to score at the position. Because now it is mandatory that you be a scoring point guard and also be able to distribute. When I was playing, it wasn't that case. That wasn't the case.
And Isaiah, along with that, amen to the choir right there. When you look at what you were able to accomplish, and it's a different league, but and I'm not, you know, you don't have to toot your own horn, but really, you could have won three straight championships. You beat Bird, Magic, and Jordan all in their prime. You won without another top 50. There were no four deep, and I'm not saying that you didn't have a great supporting cast, but nobody else is on that top 50 list from that Detroit Pistons team. And had it not been for that phantom foul against the Lakers, you probably would have won three in a row. That's how good that team is, and you led it. So when I look at your resume, and if you played during this era and you were able to shoot threes because that's a part of the game, and nobody could touch you, Isaiah, defensively, right? Everything, if you put your hand on it, it's a foul. You can't tell me that you wouldn't be even better than you were during the time that you were great.
Well, I think I still hold the finals three-point percentage highest shooting record still in the finals. Now, they round it off. It seems to be that whenever it I get compared, I missed the round off number.
How many you took, however, right?
Like it goes to somebody else, that other percentage, right?
Yeah. However the criteria is, it always rounds off at when Isaiah's getting ready to get involved.
Well, but there's a narrative sometimes, because they'll say, even when they come up with stats, it'll be like these particular stats, and you go like, nobody's ever had 28, 6, and 5. You know what I mean? Like, where'd they come up with
arbitrary
that in order to make that work for somebody?
Yeah, so Rob, just so you know, I've called Chris a couple of times because I've just said to him that I'm not arguing with the numbers. Yes, 2 + 2 = 4. But the story that has been told with some of the numbers, you know, it's just not accurate. And when you go back to, we still say, Rob, we won three straight championships. And Riley,
so you guys say that to yourselves?
Talked about the Phantom Five.
So y'all talk about that, actually, the Bad Boys?
Absolutely we do. And, you know, there's a part of the league, a big part of the league, that acknowledges it. And so during that era, you know, we were a dominant team. And had I not thrown the ball away in game five, had I not made that big mistake in Boston, we probably would have went to the finals in 87 also. Now, and I don't know if we would have beat the Lakers in 87, but from 87 to 88 to 89 to 90, you can't talk about the Boston Celtics or the LA Lakers or that period of time when the league took off without mentioning the Detroit Pistons and the effect that we had on the league, not only defensively, but also offensively. When you look at the way the game is played today, the game is played more the way we played it offensively, with small guards playing high and side screen and roll, shooting from the perimeter, than it's played with post-up players. Lambeer was a three-point shooting center. that's how the game is played today. Now, we don't get credit for changing the game, but offensively and defensively, you can go back and you can look at how we change the game defensively in the NBA and also offensively in the NBA.
It's the iCouple. We're joined by the legendary Isaiah Thomas, two-time NBA champion, Hall of Fame point guard. Isaiah, let's move to New York. Now, you obviously were there as the general manager.
But before we go to New York, let me go back to Rob's top 50.
All right.
I would say this to both of you, and I'm not tooting my own horn. I'm actually tooting the Pistons' horn because we were a team. I don't think there's a small player in league history that has won more than I did with less talent compared to the teams that we were facing and some of the teams of this era. So when you, I mean, KD is going to be a top 50 player. Steph is arguably a top, he'll probably be a top 10, top 15 player. LeBron, you know, is arguably, you know, one of the greatest ever. And when KD is done, he may be in that room with LeBron and Wilt and Jordan. I mean, and Kareem and Jordan, where we debating if he's one of the greatest or the greatest to ever play if he continues on the pace that he's going.
No, that's very true. I mean, because Magic, one thing about Magic, his teams were always stacked. Well, you got three top 50 players with Kareem and James Worthy.
You get drafted on that team already,
Jamal
right.
Wilkes was a Hall of Famer.
They already had a ton of talent.
Obviously, Burr had three Hall of Famers with him, Parrish, McHale, Dennis Johnson. So, no, that's true. That's just a fact. Now, you were obviously the president.
That's all I'm talking is facts. I feel like if you ask most people, who was the best fighter between Mike Tyson and Evander Holyfield? Most people would pick Tyson, correct?
Right. Right, I would.
But if you ask Holyfield, I mean, Holyfield would probably say he's better than Tyson, right?
Right. Oh, no doubt.
Right. No, that's true. I mean, I hear you. Well, look, you were president in New York with the Knicks. You know how the media is there. I've said everything there.
So wait a minute, Chris. So you running from the A Rod? Did he just run?
Did he just say anything?
Come on, man.
What are you asking?
He's saying what he played with. Compared to what Steph is playing with and all these other guys are playing with.
Well, I said this to Isaiah, and I said this to you on the phone.
But wait a minute, Chris. I'm just saying to you, on the real, I am honored to be compared to Steph Curry. And if you think he's better than me, I'm not saying that you're wrong. I'm just wanting to hear my reasoning. And by the way, I wouldn't be mad if Steph Curry at the end of his career or whatever is placed above me. I'm not mad at that because it ain't like we're talking about a scrub. You know what I mean?
Right.
No doubt.
Now, if you put some scrubs ahead of me, then I'm a little upset.
I got no problem
sitting in the room next to Steph Curry and somebody saying Steph Curry is a better player than you was. I ain't got no problem with that.
This is what I'd say, Isaiah. And I said this to Rob two weeks ago. If Steph Curry, I'm so excited. Now, obviously, I'm glad Kevin Durant's not hurt. Seriously, I want to see him healthy. But I am excited to see what the Warriors can do in this series without him.
This is the help Chris's narrative.
And I said this to Rob. If Kevin Durant doesn't come back and the Warriors lose, then I said, correct me if I'm wrong, Rob, I said I'm willing to reevaluate my thinking on Steph being better than you. But if they win this series without KD, then I think that strengthens my argument. He would have had two out of three championships without KD, two more with KD. like you said, you changed the game. Obviously, he changed the game. I think he's the best shooter of all time. He's got handle. He can pass. He can finish at the rim. He's got mid-range. He's a smart and willing defender, although he's not a good defender. You are a better defender.
I'm
no
glad
question.
You just said that. Just no, say he's not that, a good cause defender.
That, cause
no,
because that team, the Bad Boys, were great defensively. So this is fluid because Steph is still playing. And so that's what I'm looking at. And obviously he's incredibly efficient, you know, from the two-point and the three-point range. So that's my argument. But I'm you know, it's fluid. It's fluid. And like you said, well, you beat great teams, obviously. I mean, we mentioned some legends. He's taken down his share of legends, too. Kevin Durant, LeBron James, you know, so on and so forth.
Who else?
So, all the great James Harden.
Oh, he's great now.
James Harden's not great.
No,
yeah, he's
I'm just
great.
Asking.
I never said he wasn't great. You see what I'm dealing with?
Chris, this is what I'm gonna stick up for Steph here, and the reason why I'm gonna stick up for him is because even if they don't win this series, and I don't know if they can win it without Kevin Durant, but even if they don't win it, what Steph Curry has done for the game and has done for all of little kids' imaginations. You know, we got kids. I see boys and girls now pulling up from the hash mark.
Right.
Now, all three of us have played, and we never had the thought to pull up from the hash mark. You know, we got people shooting it from half court. Steph Curry he's changed the game just as I did in certain ways as a small guard, playing, going to the basket. You know, I hear people talking about the best way to defend Steph is to be physical. Well, guess what? The best way to defend me, they said, was to be physical.
Right.
Now, they were a little bit more physical with me.
A little
more? A lot more. Are you kidding? No doubt.
Than he gets. But at the same time, I think when you look back on basketball eras, you know, to say what for me, it is an honor to be compared to what Steph Curry has done, and I'm saying this in all honesty, if he loses, Chris, you don't have to change your rankings for me.
No, I told this to Rob.
But wait, you don't have to change your rankings at all, because I'm just saying this. Hey man, when I watch Steph Curry play, and I watch him get hot and shoot the basketball and do all this stuff, I get excited like a little fan, you know, and I love watching them play. So I just want to make it clear, I'm not in no way disappointed to be sitting in the room next to Steph Curry and y'all debating who's better, he or I. Now, if you put somebody else in that room, then come on, man.
I'm with y'all two in the room.
Hey, Isaiah, real quick, you don't have to respond. I just want everybody, I want to tell this story really quickly. You don't have to respond, Isaiah. You remember this. But me and my partner in Detroit, we get fired from the radio station, right? And I get a phone call the next day or so, and on the other line is Isaiah Thomas. And Isaiah back then was running the CBA. And I'll never forget this day. And he said to me, a good man like you shouldn't be out of work. And if you want to come work with us at the CBA, you let me know. And I always appreciate that phone call, because at that time, you just don't know which way you're going.
Right.
You don't even know if you'll ever get back. Do you know what I mean? So, Isaiah, that meant a lot to me, even though I was destined to stay in the journalism field and business. I appreciate it. That's all I want to say to you. Thank you.
Well, Isaiah, we got to run. We got to run before. Yeah, I know you can't respond. We don't have time to respond too much. But look, I enjoyed the back and forth. Some great knowledge there. And we're going to talk in a few weeks.
Yes, we will talk again.
The Broussard power rankings are hinging on the next few weeks. I know that makes you feel good.
Hey, Rob, I'll call Chris later tonight, about 2 hours.
All right. All right, Zeke, we'll talk to you, man.
All right, Isaiah. Peace.
I love y'all.
Yeah,
Thank you too.
Thanks, man.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker, weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
pleased to bring in our next guest. He's the great Super Bowl championship coach, two-time Super Bowler, and a Pro Football Hall of Famer, was a great player as well. Tony Dungy. Tony, welcome to the iCouple.
What's up, Tony?
What do you say, guys? How are you?
We're great. We're great. It's always great to have you on. Quickly, before we get to the football, are you much of a basketball fan? And if so, who do you like in these NBA finals?
I am a big fan. I love basketball. At one time, I thought that was my sport. I think all of us football players thought we could play basketball, but I follow it. My boy's a huge Warrior fan. I think it's going to be a great series. Toronto plays excellent defense. They're playing behind Kawhi right now, and they're playing with a lot of confidence. So I think it's going to be a great series.
Now, we're going to put you on the spot because we've been debating who's the best small player of all time.
Now, you know,
said Steph Curry. Rob said Isaiah Thomas.
Now, you know that Tony Dungy's from Jackson, Michigan, all right? I just want you to know. Do you know that?
So that means it's going to be Isaiah Thomas?
Who would you pick, Tony?
Well, now, you're leaving out some other
small guys. That's what I figured. Okay,
you know, I go back to Tiny Archibald, and he was phenomenal. Isaiah's got those rings, the two rings. Steph has changed the game, though. Steph really has changed the way this game is played. So I'd have to say right now, the way the game is being played and with the three-point shot and how important that is, I'd have to go with Steph Curry.
Wow.
All right.
You shocked me right there. Isaiah, do you know Tony beat Magic, Bird, and Jordan in their primes? Do you know that?
I was cheering for the Bad Boys. That's my roots now, Michigan basketball. So, yeah, I was pulling for them then. I love Joe Dumars. I just like their team. And then Isaiah was unquestionably the leader. And, you know, it was his team. And for a small guy to really win a championship and will them to win the way he did, you have to say something about that. You have to take your hat off to it.
All right, Tony, you and your wife have recently come out with a new book. It's in stores now. It's called We Chose You, a book about adoption, family, and forever love. Can you kind of tell us about the book?
Yeah, it's really my wife's passion. We started writing children's books about 8 years ago. My wife really wanted to do that. She just felt there wasn't a lot of books out there that had good messages as well as good artwork and that type of thing. So she wanted to do that and also have some children's books with diversity and show different kinds of kids. So that's always been her passion. We have 7 adopted children at home right now.
Wow.
And she wanted to talk about that and just how important it is for people to open up their hearts and open up their homes, and for kids who are adopted to know that it wasn't the case of necessarily someone not wanting them, but just God having a different plan and putting them in a family a different way. So there's a lot of messages in the book, and we're really proud of it.
Tony, what's the misconception that most people have about adoption and being able to bring kids into the home? Because a lot of people just do they not really know about it, what do they think it's about? And can you tell them what's been your experience?
You know, most people think it's a long, drawn-out process. You hear about people going to foreign countries and that type of thing. We've adopted 5 children here in Tampa, 2 from Indianapolis, especially African-American and biracial babies. There's just a lack of parents who are willing to take these kids in, and you know, that's probably the biggest misconception, that it's going to be a long process and you have to go all over the world to do it.
Tony, let's get to football. Recently, the NFL outlawed drills like Oklahoma drills and a few others. I don't know if teams were still using a lot of that stuff, but what's your take on it? I just remember growing up playing, those drills were like mainstays at every level. You know, and watching, I went back and looked at them on film, and it just seems like it looks like an integral part of the game, you know, hitting. And how do you feel about them taking it out of the game? And do you wonder about the direction, or is this a good thing?
Well, I don't know who did the research and who said that these were dangerous drills and we needed to take it out. I think it's more of kind of setting a tone. When I played for the Steelers, we started every training camp with the Oklahoma drill. It wasn't dangerous. The way we did it, it was set up to kind of set the tone, but it wasn't hard hitting. It wasn't where guys got knocked out. If you do things right, and I think that's the big thing with everything in football. If you do it right, you can eliminate a lot of the dangerous situations, a lot of the problems. So I'm all for making the game safer. I'm not sure that this makes it safer, that you don't do one-on-one tackling and blocking drills and you substitute 11-on-11. I'm not sure that's going to make it more safe. But I'm all for if they research it and they feel like it is, I'm all for it.
Because I just wonder if that could – because you're right. It looks like it's just setting the tone. You have to get used to being hit or even hitting people. I wonder if it could – put guys in danger if they're not used to, you know, that level of contact, and then you get in the game and all of a sudden it's different.
Well, I've seen that for the last 4 or 5 years, Rodney Harrison and I on our show. We just talk about it so much. You see all of these Achilles tendon injuries and you know, really serious injuries, and I'm just saying, did we have all these when it was so-called rougher and tougher? I know Coach Knoll always felt like you had to condition yourself to hit and be hit, and there's a certain amount of practice that you need that is going to prepare you for a physical game. And no, you don't have to go crazy. You don't have to go overboard, but you do have to get ready to tackle and be tackled.
And, Tony, when you hear, like, star players – like a Brett Favre and some others who said, Brett said, if I had a son, I wouldn't want him to play football. When you start to hear that, and there's been a number of players, guys have told me, I wouldn't encourage it. You know what I mean? If he wants to play, I probably would go along with it, but I wouldn't encourage it. It tells you the sport has to do something in order to get parents to let their kids play. Would you agree with that?
No question. And you're never going to take all the danger out of the game. People do get hurt. I got hurt, you know, and it you look at it as part of the game when you play football. I have 7 boys, and they all like to play. They all want to play, and, you know, I have no problem with them playing. But, hey, I can see how people feel that way. If I played 16, 17 years and my body ached when I got up in the morning, I might feel that way too. But I'm 62 years old, and you know, I still am active, and I enjoyed every minute of my football career. And my boys, I'm all for them playing.
Tony, let's get to some of the teams. You know, in AFC, Pittsburgh. You know, they obviously lost some talent with Antonio Brown, Le'Veon
Bell. Talent.
Yeah,
they lost a lot of talent.
But I actually think though they're gonna. I still pick them to win the AFC North, and I think Cleveland can be a wild card out of that division. What's your take on those two teams in that division overall?
Well, you know, what people have to understand, this game is not just about talent and acquiring talent. Cleveland has done a great job of that, and they're going to be an exciting team. Is that going to equate with winning? We'll have to see how it all meshes together, how these guys play, and how their quarterback does in his second year. The game is still about quarterbacking. Ben Roethlisberger is exceptional. You can debate off the field and the locker room and all that, but when he gets out there and plays, he plays well. Baker Mayfield was exciting last year. We have to see if that now translates a year of maturity, understanding that now he's going to make those big plays in the big situation. I still think you have to say Pittsburgh would be the favorites. Don't discount Baltimore. John Harbaugh does a great job of putting things together. I think Cleveland has maybe moved up into third in that division, and they're going to put some heat on people, but I still think they're third right now. My son's looking at me like I'm crazy.
Like,
he's a big Cleveland fan.
He's not buying all the hype like everybody. I'm with you, Tony, on that. How about the league has always taken this authoritative, like, we're going to run the league, we're going to protect the shield, and they hold the players to a high standard. What kind of standard should the owners be held to a higher standard? And they still reviewing the Robert Kraft situation and what went down in Florida. What should happen there if you're asking the players to be held accountable, whether or not, you know, there are criminal charges or not? It's about protecting the shield. What should happen?
Well, I've always felt that owners, front office, coaches, we should be held to a higher standard because we're the leaders. I think it's going to be very touchy with Commissioner Goodell and what he's going to have to do here. I don't think there's any question that if Robert Kraft was a player, that there would be some type of punishment. There's no doubt about that. We've seen that in the past with Ezekiel Elliott. We've seen that with Ben Roethlisberger.
No doubt.
Yeah, so when you look at it that way, you have to say if we're owners, we have to be held to a higher standard. Now, again, I don't know all the facts. I live here in Florida. It kind of looked like for a time it was an open and shut case, and now they've blocked the video. My wonder is how come the video doesn't get out? It seems to get out with all the players.
Right, right. That's what I'm saying. It's amazing, right, isn't it? All of a sudden.
Yeah, that now the video is not going to get out. But I'm a fan of Robert Kraft, too. I love him. He's done some things personally for me that have just been outstanding. I was sorry to see this whole thing. But I do believe that we as leaders have to be held to a higher standard.
Right,
and,
right.
And, Tony, that's the first time in NFL history that the Patriots didn't want to see a video. You know what I'm saying?
Now, that's a cruel joke.
Well, Tony,
Tony, I had to.
We always love talking to you.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate the time and good luck with the book. It sounds like it's a great book that we all need to read.
Hey, thank you guys. Hey, I love your stuff. Keep it going, and you guys are the best. Love to be on with you.
Thanks, Tony. See you.